The Forsyte Chronicles by John Galsworthy. Dramatised by Elspeth Sands. With Dirk Bogarde as Galsworthy, Alan Howard as Soames, Amanda Redman as Fleur, Gary Bond as Michael, and Gary Cady as John. Episode 15.
Michael Mont. I wonder what he wants.
June Forsyte stared at the card in her hand. Dressed in flowing green, with her silver hair cut short, she was seated at the feet of her latest discovery. A Raphaelite painter by name Harold Blade, whom she had recently rescued from oblivion.
Show him up, Bertha. It'll be good for him to meet Harold.
Yes'm.
Another of your patrons, June.
My cousin's husband, a member of Parliament. There's money there.
I don't care about money.
And taste. Fleur is a pretty child. A society woman now, but beguiling still. Michael, this is a surprise. I may call you Michael, I suppose.
We are cousins by marriage.
Michael's decision to visit June had been taken spontaneously. Fleur had gone with her cousin John and his wife to Robin Hill. Her Aunt Winifred and Holly Darty had gone too, but Michael's mind was not easy.
You know Harold Blade, of course.
Yes.
Doesn't know me from Adam.
But Harold's the only true Raphaelite. You must know his work.
I'm afraid I'm rather a dud in art matters.
You must commission him to paint Fleur. He'd get her modern look perfectly.
I'll sound her out.
Michael's unease was not because of his ignorance of Harold Blade's work.
Second cousin, first love. June knows what happened, doesn't she?
You could always get Soames to pay if you're too pressed. He'll be collecting Harold when we're all dead.
You two are going to talk about me. I'll go for a walk.
Goodbye, Mr. Blade. It's been a pleasure.
He has such a struggle. Everybody's against him.
Oh, why is that?
Because he's the only one who's giving us the old values, pure primary line and colour. Do you think they'd hang that in the Academy?
I met your young brother and his wife today. They came to lunch with Holly.
Oh, I haven't seen John yet.
There's no one else I can ask. I hope you don't mind. You see, I've never been told why Fleur and your young brother came to an end with each other.
You don't know about John's mother, then? She was Soames' first wife.
Good God.
She's still alive. She lives in America. Her name is Irene.
And June proceeded to tell Michael, in short, sharp sentences, the story of Irene and her marriage to Soames.
She had a beastly time with him. He was such a slug about his precious rights.
And the second marriage to Soames' first cousin, Jolyon.
She and my father only had one child, John. So that when he fell in love with Fleur, they were terribly upset. Soames, too, I imagine. At least he ought to have been.
Neither of them knew, I suppose. The Forsytes are a close clan.
It was too bad. By the time they were told, they were head over ears.
What happened?
My father died in the middle of it all. I don't think things would have turned out differently if he'd lived. He adored Irene. But after that, John felt he couldn't leave his mother. He went off to America and, well, you know the rest.
Poor little devils.
Yes, it was hard. Irene oughtn't to have stood in their way. But perhaps she saw how it would have been. John wouldn't have been happy. Fleur's too selfish.
Oh, now look here.
Don't mind what I say. I only speak the truth.
I wish you'd
remember. Anyway, John's married now, and you've got a boy. You ought to have been told. I'm surprised, Fleur. She never said anything.
No. It went too deep, that's why.
Family feuds. No one who hasn't had them can know what they're like.
Thank you for telling me. I'm glad at last to know what it's all about.
I was sorry for those children. I don't suppose to this day Soames has told Fleur what really lay behind it. People in the 80s and 90s didn't understand how disgusting it was for a man to force himself on a woman who didn't want him. Things are different now, thank goodness. We're not so farmyardy.
Aren't we? I wonder.
You're happy, aren't you? It's all worked out for the best.
I am, but is Fleur?
It was the thought Michael carried back with him to South Spur.
Hello, old thing. Had a good time?
Chopping, thank you.
My committee was a washout. Seems only the upper and middle classes are to be allowed to practice birth control. To make it universal would cut at the basis of all privilege.
Poor boy.
How was Robin Hill?
Peaceful. English.
Did Anne like it?
She was in ecstasies.
That was a queer meeting I had with those two at Mount Vernon, wasn't it?
The day Father was unwell, yes. Very queer.
If only I could talk to her. How's Kit?
In a grump. He doesn't like me today. You know, Michael, I almost wish the strike hadn't ended. Now that I don't have the canteen, I'm at a bad loose end.
Ah, Darty. Thought I'd look you up on my way to Brighton.
Aubrey Stainford, something of a loose end in Val Darty's life, smiled unemotionally at his old college pal. Val was more concerned to check the contents of the hall, where Stainford had been left to wait for him.
I've been hearing about your stable. I thought perhaps you'd like me to work your commission. I could do it much better than the professionals.
Thanks very much, but I hardly bet at all.
Really? I find that hard to believe. Look here, Darty, I didn't mean to bother you again, but I don't suppose you could let me have 50, could you? I'm rather strapped.
The nerve. What does he take me for?
I don't keep that kind of money about me.
Well, check, then.
The devil take you, Stainford. You can have a fiver and clear out. I've not forgotten the snuff box, you know, all that trick you played on me at Oxford. You left me without a sou.
Oxford. Another life. Goodbye, Darty. I hope you'll have a good season.
After Stainford had gone, Val brooded on the reason for his visit. It was a long way to come for an almost certain refusal. Not until Ascot Week did he spy an explanation.
He runs well, Greenwater. You've done a great job on him.
Aye. He'll run for his life now, Mr. Darty, and that's a fact.
Not afraid of overdoing him?
Well, matter of fact, I were going to suggest we bring him on. There was a son of a gun watching the gallop this morning. He showed a particular interest in Rondeville. Reckon he must have picked up some gossip.
So that's it.
Val lowered his binoculars. Rondeville was the pride of his stable, a two-year-old colt who showed every sign of growing into a winner.
Stainford. Or my name's not Val Darty.
If you want my advice, Mr. Darty, you'll let him run at Ascot on Thursday. Do him good to smell a race course.
We were going to save him for Goodwood.
Ah, exactly. That'll be the gossip.
Clever. All right, Greenwater. Ascot it is. I'll tell the missus. We can stay at Warmson's Inn on the river.
It's too lovely, John.
Anne Forsythe, newly inducted into the beauties of English country inns, breathed in the scent of roses and stocks and gillyflowers, and feasted her eyes on the river whose name she could now pronounce.
The Thames. There, I got it at last.
When we get our place, we'll have all these old-fashioned flowers. They're much the sweetest.
Oh, yes. Do let's get a home. Only, are you sure you want one? Wouldn't you rather travel and write poetry?
Voice in the night crying. Oh, my verse isn't good enough.
Oh, John, I wish you weren't so modest.
It's not modesty, Anne. It's a sense of the comic. You need tragedy for poetry. We don't grow that in England. It's too damp.
Are we far from Ascot?
About 15 miles. Val and Holly always stay here. Yeah?
I love our room. It's so homely.
Mm. The innkeeper and his wife used to work for Val's grandfather.
That's what I like about your family, John. Things last.
Oh, we don't like change. It's too unsettling. That's why England's such poor soil for revolution.
Vermont's father lives on the river, doesn't he?
Mm. Maple Durham. It's about 10 miles from here.
Wonder if we'll see her at Ascot. She's so lovely. I wonder you didn't fall in love with her.
Oh. We were just kids.
I think she fell in love with you.
What makes you say that?
The way she looks at you. She isn't in love with Mr. Mond. She only likes him.
I mustn't think of her. It's the past.
No ghosts, my dear.
I expect she will come to Ascot. It's so fashionable.
1108 to 500! Get your metro ready!
I can't think what possessed Fleur. A crowd like this, where's the pleasure in it?
She wants to see Rondeville run, Soames. It's natural.
With his sister Winifred beside him, Soames made his way towards what he'd been told was called the paddock. He'd no interest whatsoever in horses. His only interest was in Fleur. Ever since Winifred broke the news of John Forsyth's return, he had been uneasy.
Watch. Wait. What else is there to do?
I don't see Fleur. Where has she got to?
Relax, sir. She's with Imogen and Jack. She can't come to any harm.
Hmm.
You look splendid in that hat, dear.
White elephant, like so much else around here.
Oh, look. There's the tin wheel.
Oh, look, Soames. A royal procession.
Soames allowed himself to be carried forward. He'd never been a man for public spectacle.
Queen Victoria's funeral. Now that was something.
But this display of wealth and fashion, somehow with factories closing down and the coal trade at a standstill, it struck him as
indecent.
There's Fleur! And young John.
Where?
Standing by the rail.
I knew this would happen if I took my eyes off her.
I don't see John's wife.
Useless to say anything. Nothing to do but watch and wait.
Are you going to put anything on Rondeville, John?
Yes, a tenner.
So will I, then.
Do you see Anne? It's a big race. I should be with her.
You have Anne day and night, John. It's my turn.
11 to 10 to 5 red.
That's the favourite, Soames. What do you think of him?
Much like the others. He's got four legs.
I don't like it. I can't see Fleur.
You must back something, Soames, to give you an interest.
Shouldn't have come. All this racket.
Call him out, Frenchman!
Hans Adenoyan, he's the favourite. They say it's between him and the Frenchman.
Frenchman? Which one's he?
The red and blue colours.
Ah!
With some difficulty, Soames picked out the offending nag. He was glad Annette was still with her mother in France.
An English horse against a French one. That gives the thing meaning.
I'll put £5 on him.
Did you expect to see me here, John?
Yes.
And it didn't keep you away. How brave.
I wish you wouldn't say that sort of thing.
Rondeville's beautiful, isn't he? No wonder Val's proud of him.
Mm. He likes what he does. That's why he looks so spirity.
Not exactly a free agent, though, is he?
Is anyone.
John, don't be my enemy.
Anne should be here. You said we'd watch this race together.
I do so want Rondeville to win, John. It would make the day doubly special.
He's got an excellent chance. Look at him. Did you ever see a 2-year-old more self-contained?
Self-contained? Not a modern quality, is it?
Perhaps. Underneath.
You sound like Francis. You've been in the backwoods too long. You should have tried New York, judging by their literature.
I don't judge by literature. I don't believe there's any relation between it and life. They're off!
Where is he? I can't see.
He's taken the lead!
Oh, Jane, I'm awfully worked up. He simply must win.
Fleur pressed closer. John had caged her hand against his side. She saw nothing for race. Her eyes were closed.
Where is he now?
By gosh! He's going to win!
Oh, John!
He is! He's winning! He's won!
Dad, there you are!
Yeah?
Did you back Rondeville? We've all won money.
gambling. Don't hold with it. Though I suppose it is better than revolution.
Revolution, Dad?
So long as a man can get something for nothing, he's not likely to want to turn things upside down.
You are in a grump, dear. You should have come with me. I had a capital time.
I dare say.
Actually, sir, something rather queer has happened. Val's a bit down in the dumps about it. You remember that chap, Stainford, who sneaked the mate a snuffbox?
Well, what's he got to do with anything?
Val reckons he spiked the odds on Rendezvous. Somebody, not one of us, I'm afraid to say, has made a pot.
Stainford? Well, next time I come across that ruffian, I'll call a policeman and have him locked up.
Hello, Stan, how are you?
Oh, not so bad, not so bad. Your step's nice and clean.
Oh, get on with you. Oh, morning, Vicko.
Morning.
Well, Michael, my boy, what do you think of my parish?
Michael had accepted his Uncle Hilary's invitation to visit St. Augustine in the Meads out of a combination of curiosity, affection, and a reluctance to take part in the national pastime at Ascot. But there was something else on his mind as he trudged along the narrow, fetid street.
The houses look as if they've been abandoned to their fate, don't they? Which isn't very far from the truth. The last landlord lived in Capri.
Who owns it now?
I do.
My God.
Post-dated a check on Providence.
How much?
32,000.
How can he be so cheerful? Here we are, surrounded by squalor, and he gambles everything on the future.
It's luckily the people around here are all snoof.
Snoof?
Got no sense of smell. We need the word, believe me. We have deaf, blind, dumb. Why not snoof? Ah, Mrs. Corrigan. How are you this morning?
Sure, and I'm fine, thank you, Father.
Can we come in? This is my nephew, Mr. Michael Mont. He's a Member of Parliament.
Oh, indeed, and is he now?
He'd like to see your room.
Well, it's not so tidy I am this morning.
Oh, we won't mind about that, Mrs. Corrigan.
This way, sir.
Well, how many of you live here, Mrs. Corrigan?
Well, there's me man, Thorn, the two little ones you see there. And I have a girl, Molly, works in Petter and Poplands. Only she's out on strike now, of course.
And you all live in this one room?
Oh, not just us, sir. There's more life in them walls than there is in your Houses of Parliament.
You can see your face, Michael. Mrs. Colligan, of course, is referring to the unmentionable insect. The girls round here have to keep their clothes in paper bags.
The General Slum Conversion Fund, Michael. You don't think your uncle invited you down here for your health, do you?
Oh, the deuce.
I thought you might get together a committee, start an appeal.
What about Providence?
Oh, ask your Aunt May. She'll tell you.
What your uncle means, my dear, is that we thought, considering your luck in life, you might do something.
Oh, I thought I was.
The people you saw this morning, Michael, they're fellow Englishmen, more or less. Salt of the earth.
Oh, don't say any more, Uncle Hilary. I've never known anyone who could resist you.
Well, think it over, Michael. Providence moves in mysterious ways.
In a state of some confusion, Michael returned to South Square.
Oh, Mr. Mont, there you are.
What is it, Kirker?
It's Master Kidd, sir. He has a temperature. Nurse thinks we should send for the doctor.
Thank you, Kirker.
The same news greeted Fleur and Soames on their return from Ascot.
Well?
I'm afraid it's the measles.
Measles?
Well, it's all right. Fleur had them as a child. No danger of reinfection.
Poor little chap. He's very feverish.
How is Fleur taking it?
She insists on nursing him herself.
Well, it'll mean she can't get out.
No bad thing while that young man's around.
I'll send for Annette. She's been with her mother long enough.
Oh, Fleur would appreciate that, sir.
I'll be glad enough to see my wife myself.
At least it's not a notifiable disease. We should be glad of that.
The doctor thinks 3 to 4 weeks.
I'll see what I can find to distract the boy.
That's it, darling. Sleep.
For 3 weeks, Fleur endured her voluntary purdah. Though there was much to distract her, her mother's arrival, her son's distress, the stream of presents from her father, the revival of her youthful interest in watercoloring, her mind kept returning to its old obsession.
John.
Dear Fleur, we are so awfully sorry to hear of Kit's illness.
John's letter of condolence, perfectly correct in every particular, had engraved itself on Fleur's heart.
It must be wretched for you. We do hope the poor little chap is over the painful part by now.
If only I could see him, touch him. There is something between us. I know it. I felt it at Robin Hill and at Ascot.
Rondeville, they say, is all the better for his race. It was jolly seeing it together. Goodbye, Fleur. With all sympathy, your affectionate friend, John.
Goodbye? Never. It's old to me.
Hello, old thing.
It's all right. He won't wait now.
Oh, is this what you've been doing to amuse yourself?
Michael looked at Fleur's almost completed watercolour. A fantastic tree with large golden fruits.
It's good. It's got real feeling.
The uneatable fruit. Shall I call it that?
Certainly not. They're far too luscious. You need to eat them over a basin, though, like a mango.
Michael.
Il y a toujours un qui baise. Never forget, I love you awfully.
You're happy, aren't you? It's all worked out for the best.
It was against Michael's nature to spy on his wife. He was not Soames. He could wait, but not watch. But as Kit began to recover, June's words returned to haunt him.
It was too bad. By the time they were told, they were head over ears.
John Forsythe. I liked him when we bumped into one another in America. Why should I change my opinion now?
Now that I don't have the canteen, I'm at a bad loose end.
If only I knew what she was thinking.
Slum Conversion Committee. Well, say what you like, Michael. It's a better bet than foggartism.
Fleur seems to think so.
It's important we get the right people. A committee like this, just to make a noise.
What we need is a magnet. A figure around whom everyone else will revolve.
Mm-hmm. Mm, so long as he's not clever. People don't like clever men. Character. That's what you have to go for.
I'd rather like an admiral.
Ah, Eureka! I have it. Wilfred Bentworth, the last of the squires. Nearest thing to John Bull left in the country.
Bentworth? But isn't he stupid?
Refused a peerage 3 times. Think of the effect of that on the public.
I do believe, Dad, you understand the country better than I do.
What's all this, then? Something to say?
Half an hour later, Michael and his father surprised Wilfred Bentworth as he stood reading the tape at his club.
Bart was right. He's our man.
The slum in question is in the parish of my brother-in-law, Hilary Cheryl.
Cheryl? Heard of him? They say he's cracked.
I've seen the street he bought, sir. If you drive a nail into the walls, things come out.
Good God.
Mm, not so much of the good, I think.
You're not familiar with the slum, sir?
No. Ought to be, I suppose. Poor devils.
Well, there's nothing wrong with their character, sir. They've got all the Anglo-Saxon qualities.
Bugs, you say?
Infested, sir. The girls have to keep their clothes in paper bags.
Very well. Come back to me when you have your list of names. If I take to them, I'll come in. I don't like vermin.
Well done, Michael. You played your bugs well. He'll make a splendid chairman.
Well, who's next?
A familiar face, the Marquis of Shropshire. He'll serve under Bentworth. He knows as well as I do there's no older family in England.
Young Mont. How pleasant. And this is your son, if I remember. Nothing to do with my granddaughter, I trust.
Marjorie Farrar and the case against Fleur. It was not something any of them were likely to forget.
Oh, no, sir.
No one thinks of that old quarrel now, Marquis. We've come on behalf of the humble.
Have you indeed? In my view, the humbler people are, the more one ought to consider their feelings.
My sentiments exactly, Marquis. But let my son explain.
This time, it was not bugs that did it, but...
Frankly, sir, we've come to you because of your interest in electrification.
Michael chose his words with care. Converting the slums was to go hand in hand with...
Electrification of the kitchens, you say?
My uncle insists on it, sir.
Well, it's a move in the right direction. But I've a problem. Money. I don't like to appeal to others without making a substantial contribution myself.
Now, that's something I never thought of.
Strapped for cash. That's my difficulty. You don't know anyone who would like a Moreland, do you? If I could sell that...
My father-in-law is a collector, sir. He was saying only the other day how much he'd like a Moreland.
Was he? Any chance of its going to the nation in time?
Quite a good chance, I should think.
Something to be said for the hereditary principle, don't you think, when it comes to the sale of heirlooms? Especially when it's in a good cause.
Well, that's two in the bag, Michael. Old Forsyte won't let us down. And the rest will follow easily now.
Well, I couldn't have done it without you, Dad.
Only too glad to help. Tell me, how's Fleur? She must have time on her hands now that Kit's so much better.
Poor prisoner. What are you thinking about?
7 million people going their separate ways. It all seems so meaningless.
Gloomy. There must be direction back here underneath.
Oh, there's change. Plenty of that. But it's not the same thing, is it?
What about common sense?
Common sense. In the face of passions?
The passion to have or the passion to know?
Both. It's a having age, Michael. You were born out of your time.
What is it you want, Fleur? I'd like to be told.
Only the moon, my dear.
So, it's this Moreland you want to sell, is it, Marquis?
The condition known as crying for the moon was not one from which Soames had ever suffered. That there was a limit to what could reasonably be expected from life was axiomatic to one born in 1855. But no such limit bound the man of property bent on the acquisition of a legitimate work of art.
I don't want to part with it, Mr. Forsyte, but these are lean days. If I'm to do my bit for slum clearance...
I can see it. Genuine. Chiaroscuro is excellent.
Would you like to see the back? It's sometimes the best part of the picture.
Marquis is a sort of gone-off duke, but this one seems to have his wits about him.
I thought a simple transaction between gentlemen. I understand you know about values.
I'll give you 600 guineas for it. If I were buying from Demetrius, 500 would be my limit.
That's too generous, perhaps. Shall we say 550?
We won't haggle. 600 it is. You can have my check now.
Have I been done?
Miss June Forsyte, ma'am.
June! This is a surprise.
It was Fleur's first day back in the world. A visit from the cousin indelibly associated in her mind with her wedding day was the last thing she expected.
I shall forget him, I suppose, if I fly fast and far enough.
I like your room. Harold Blade's pictures would look splendid here. Do you know his work?
I'm afraid not.
Extraordinary. I would have thought, Michael, I would have thought you'd both know his work.
I haven't seen you since...
Your wedding, I know. I like your husband. Is he at home?
No, he's slumming. It's his new cause. I hardly ever see him. Have you still got your gallery off Cork Street?
That? Oh, no. It was a hopeless place. I sold it for half what my father gave for it. Fleur, I want to interest you in Harold Blade. He's a genius. I do so want you to sit for him.
Without knowing his work...
Your father simply must arrange it. With your position in society, especially after that case last year.
You always did say what you meant, didn't you, John?
I want him to paint John's wife, too. He's extraordinary with women. Mind you, I'm never quite sure about American women. As a rule, I like all foreigners except the Americans and the French.
You've seen John, then?
Not yet. They're coming on Friday.
Could I see John here tomorrow? You still live in the same place, do you?
Yes, the studio suits Harold admirably.
I will come, June. Soon, I promise. I'd like to see Mr. Blade's pictures. I'll come on Friday. The golden apple. Am I to eat it at last? You have Anne day and night, John. It's my turn. Something will happen. I don't know what. But I'm owed something. The thing is to be secret. I won't have Michael hurt. And Dad, his eyes follow me like gimlets. I must be subtle if I'm to convince him.
I passed that woman on the steps. What did she want?
Nothing much, dear. She has a new painter she's trying to boost.
Another of her lame ducks?
She wants you to stump up to have me painted.
Does she indeed?
Harold Blade. Do you know his work? I said I'd go and have a look.
She's like a limpet. Sticks at a thing till she gets it. It's in the blood.
Mine too, dear. Isn't that nice?
The fixed idea. Fleur had got hold of it and now was unlikely to let it go. To Soames, as to most men born in the mid-19th century, love was a purely individual passion. No Forsyte talked sex or liked to hear others talk it. And when they felt its call, they gave no outward sign. But Fleur lived in a different age. Love to her symbolized the cravings in her blood for life, the whole of life, and nothing but life.
The world well lost. Is that what I want?
Since John's return, she'd been full of hope and fear.
Yet if not that, what? Secret liaison?
Everything, now that he was back, seemed possible.
Real life. That's what I want. Even to be his friend.
The shows and shadows of existence were no longer enough. For the first time in 6 years, Fleur was alive.
If you want a meeting place for your slum committee, Michael, why not here?
Are you sure, old thing? It's awfully sporting of you.
I'm so glad you've ditched Foggartism. You'll make a far better name for yourself this way.
I know, you're always telling me the main business for a politician is to get elected.
I'm going to take Kit to the sea for a few weeks, Michael. He needs to convalesce.
Capital idea, Ducky. Anywhere in mind?
Nora Curfew says I can have her cottage at Loring.
Loring? Where's that?
Sussex Coast, near Nittlefold.
5 miles from John at Wansdon.
Next Monday, I'm afraid, June. I've been offered a cottage. It's too good an opportunity to miss. I could come this afternoon, but I think you said John was coming.
He won't be here long. He's a train to catch at 6:20.
Will Anne be with him?
No, he's coming on his own. He wants to see Harold's work for himself.
6:20. I could easily make that. I'll telephone you at the end of the week, June. Perhaps I could see the pictures on Sunday.
Yes, all right.
Goodbye.
I'll tell Michael I'm going down to inspect the cottage. Not even Dad could query that. Running into John would look like pure coincidence.
The 1820 train for Loring is standing at Platform 4, calling at Seaton, Maybridge...
Fleur!
John, what a surprise! Where are you going?
Wansdon.
But how jolly, I'm going to Loring to look at a cottage. Quick, there's an empty carriage. If we hurry, we'll have it to ourselves. He was so feverish, poor darling, I thought he'd never get well. But now he's running about everywhere, driving Nurse mad. And I thought a few weeks at the sea... I'm sorry, John. I've been in prison, you see. 4 weeks with no one to talk to. No one real, that is.
Oh, surely Michael was...
Oh, I never see him. He spends all his time in the slums. We put Kit down for Winchester. Do you believe in public schools, John, or do you think they're out of date?
No, I think they're a good thing. A necessary dam. Being out of England makes you view these things differently.
While Fleur listened to John, she tried not to think of his eyes, his hair, his lips.
Don't tell me you've become a moralist. If only I knew what he was thinking. Do you remember the last time we travelled together?
I told you before. I remember everything.
I haven't imagined it then.
Repression is stupid, you know, John. That's why I doubt the public schools. They teach it.
They're useful socially, Fleur.
Oh, I know I'm a snob. I was called so publicly.
What?
There was a case about it. Didn't Francis tell you?
Oh, Fleur, you never thought that I... Oh, Fleur...
Dear John, you've lived too long among the primitives. I was only teasing.
Wary as a cat, casual and friendly, with only the occasional tremor when she looked up at him, Fleur talked, laughed, listened.
Have you found your place to grow things yet?
Yes. It's about 5 miles from Wansdon. It's called Greenhill Farm. Anne simply loves it. We'll grow fruit and a bit of arable.
John's settled. It mustn't happen. I'll lose him again. It must be close to where I'm going with Kit. That's only 5 miles from Wansdon. No, John. Don't be alarmed. We shall only be there 3 weeks.
Alarmed? I think it sounds jolly. We shall see you there. In any case, we shall meet at Goodwood.
I've been thinking, John. We can be steady friends, can't we? I never let go. Do you?
Never. Friends, Fleur? I hope so.
Claire's bright chatter on the train had no more to see John than at heart she had meant it to.
John!
You were miles away. What were you thinking about?
You've come to meet me. How nice.
I missed you. And what did you think of the pictures?
Well, June's right. He does have something.
Enough to have him paint me?
He wants to paint Fleur, too. I met her on the train. She's taking her boy down to Loring next week to convalesce.
I'm sorry.
Why?
Because I'm in love with you, John.
Well, I didn't
I
see
watched her with you at Ascot.
Anne, it's...
No. Don't say anything. Val wants us to go and look at Rondavel. He's off his feed.
Anne, it's...
I'm old-fashioned, John. I'm not like her.
I'm old-fashioned, too.
Well, that's all right, then.
Well, it is a thing, John. Isn't that right, Greenwater?
Any idea what it could be?
Beats me, Mr. Forsyth. There isn't a sick animal that I know of for miles around.
I had a horse got sick like that back home. Never did discover the reason.
Well, I'm afraid it's goodbye to Goodwood. No chance now of his being fit in time.
I am sorry, Val. I know how much you were looking forward to it.
If you ask me, it's all part of the general decline. You can't go anywhere these days without bumping into one of those Labour fellows. And if it's not them, it's the communists. You mark my words, John. The world's changing, and not for the better. Shouldn't be surprised if we were in for another knock.
John?
What is it, darling?
You mustn't stop loving me.
Why should I?
Men do. Besides, it's not the fashion to be faithful.
Bosh. It's as much the fashion as it ever was.
You were in love with her, John. I feel it in my bones. I wish you'd told me.
Why?
Over there. Somewhere. She's awake. And wanting you. I'm not happy, John.
Oh, don't be morbid, darling.
But I'm not happy. Love me.
Me too, John.
The moon shone fitfully. Into John's mind came the vision of a girl in a Goya dress.
Love me too.
Betrayal was in the air. The next morning, while breakfasting with Holly, Val received a letter from Aubrey Stainford.
He says he has information about Rondavel. Listen to this. I can assure you it's worth a great deal more than the £50 I hope you will feel inclined to pay for it.
Take no notice, Val. It's not worth it.
I don't know. There was a leak at Ascot, and now the colt's sick just before Goodwood.
Perhaps you should talk to your Uncle Soames.
He's still at Green Street, isn't he? He's a lawyer. He'll know what you can and can't do.
Ah, Stainford.
That afternoon, the man stood in Winifred's drawing room, smiling languidly.
Mr. Forsyth, we meet again.
Chap looks ill on his beam ends, shouldn't wonder.
You'd better have a drink.
Thank you. I'll have a brandy. I'm sorry Rondeville's gone amiss, Darty. I know what he means to you.
You seem to know a great deal about him.
There's a leak. If you want to put it straight, it'll cost you £50.
How do I know you're telling the truth?
You don't. You'll have to trust me.
If I buy this information from you...
£50 is a great deal of money, Mr. Stainford.
I'm not so distrustful as you, Mr. Forsyth. The leak comes from the stable boy, Sinnett. You have my word, Darty.
Sinnett? He's my best boy. What proof do you have?
May I have the £50?
Sams watched in horror as his nephew counted out the notes.
What's the matter with the world? To get money at all costs seems to be the prevailing morality.
Here's your proof, Darty. This note.
The colt's gone amiss, all right. He'll be no good for Goodwood. You got at him when you came to see me, didn't you? Well, I'll be...
Goodbye, Darty. I don't expect we'll meet again.
Do you mind telling me what's funny?
You wouldn't understand, Uncle Soames. He won, didn't he? I've come a holy mucker.
With those words ringing in his ears, Soames made his way to South Square. Flo would be at the seaside by now. There might be a message.
It'll be frightfully dull, Dad. Just me and Kit and Nurse.
Oh, what about Michael? Can't he join you?
Oh, he's head over ears with this slum scheme of his. It's his new toy now that he's ditched Foggartism. I never see him.
Oh, slums want attending to, no doubt.
Michael's too good to live.
Well, I don't know about that. But he is rather trusting.
That's not your failing, is it, Dad? Mm-hmm. You don't trust me a bit.
What's going on here?
Something to do with the slums, sir. The converting of them, I heard Mr. Mont say. The mistress phoned, sir. They had a good journey.
I don't like it. Young John is still with Val. Fleur will be almost a neighbour.
Don't put my hat with these others. I'll wait for Mr. Mont in his study.
What's this, then?
Lying on Michael's bureau was a watercolour with Fleur's initials on the bottom.
The golden apple? Huh. Looks more like passion fruit to me.
Hello, sir. Sorry you were left.
This thing of Fleur's, can you explain it? It looks to me like forbidden fruit.
It's rather good, isn't it? It has feeling.
Too much, shouldn't wonder.
Sir, I've come to ask you... My slum conversion committee's meeting downstairs. Would you consider being co-opted? We'd be most frightfully grateful.
Well, what do you want me for?
Keep us straight. There are some very respectable slum landlords, widows, syndicates, dukes. We need you to keep us out of court.
Once before, this appeal of yours, gentlemen, I don't like the tone of it. The word execration, for instance, it won't... Do.
Quite agree, Mr. Forsyth. Not strong enough. Slum owners ought to be shot.
Oh, if that is the feeling of the committee, then I am afraid...
Sir Timothy spoke for himself, Mr. Forsyth. The rest of us are looking for a more temperate solution.
Didn't shoot enough people in the war. That's our trouble.
Yeah.
Conscience, communists, profiteers, they should all have been lined up against the wall.
What have we got here? Three knights, a squire, a clergyman, a Jew, a marquis, a bishop, and monks. Terry Fees. I'd be happier if there weren't so many titles.
I agree with Sir Timothy about the vermin. Something's got to be done.
These places aren't just verminous, Beckmuth. They're C3 breeders. You have to deal with both ends. Stop them having babies and shoot a slum landlord or two. That'll get results.
I can see I shall have to join them if it's not to become a wildcat thing.
A whole week and he hasn't come. Anne must know about us.
Not in your mouth, Kit. That's a good boy. Give it to Nurse.
I can't stand this solitude much longer. I'll go up to town. Call on June. She'll know if John's still at Wansdon.
You didn't come to see Harold's pictures.
I've come now.
I'm just going out. I'll only be a quarter of an hour. You can wait in the meal room till I get back.
The meal room? Where I once waited for John.
Is Mr. Blade in?
He's painting John's wife. She's a nice little thing. They're staying here, you know.
He's here, in this house, with her. Oh, why did I come? I never let go. Do you?
Never.
I'll go and find him. Perhaps he's on his own. If you don't want to lose me, we must get married.
I remember everything.
So do I, John. Or so do I.
Fleur had reached the studio. Through the open door, she saw a reflection in the mirror. Anne, dressed in white, standing on a dais. John was seated on a divan watching her. He was smiling.
No, no, no!
Fleur, why didn't you tell me to... Oh, you look delicious.
Fleur had put on her prettiest frock, manicured her hands, titivated her hair, scented her eyebrows, smoothed her lips, put on no rouge, and the merest dusting of powder. If she couldn't have the wish of her heart, she would at least have pleasure, speed, distraction.
I thought I'd surprise you. Kit's in such splendid form, he won't miss me.
Oh, Fleur.
Mind my neck, you're all bristly.
I've missed you horribly.
I want to go out, Michael. I want to dine somewhere amusing and do a theatre and a club afterwards.
Anything you say, ducky.
After all, I deserve a night out.
Michael! Fleur, how delightful. Where have you been hiding yourself?
I say, Fleur, have you seen our show? It's simply topping.
Well, pronged it is, and the worthy Michael.
Hello.
Nothing matters. Nothing lasts.
Catchy, isn't it?
Isn't that Lord Orton? I didn't know he liked musicals.
No one admits to liking the ducky, but they come all the same.
Is this what they call the Charleston?
It's the latest thing.
Well, I hope you don't expect me to do it.
Why not? Dancing makes you forget yourself.
Is that what you want, Fleur?
It's a vacuous age, Michael, didn't you know?
There is a limit.
Oh, I don't know. One can always become more vacuous.
You're not tired of me, are you, Fleur?
Of course not.
You mean you'd never have such a definite feeling towards me?
No, dear boy. Mwah. It was what I meant, wasn't it? I mean I know a good thing when I've got it.
Dear Fleur, I was sorry not to see you on your visit to town, but your father tells me you and Kit will be returning next week. I do hope the sea air has worked its spell.
Winifred, writing to her niece, tried to think of amusing things to say. It was so very important to be modern.
Holly tells me they're not going to Goodwood after all. Their two-year-old is not on form. But they will go to the fancy dress dance on the eve of the race. It's at that hotel at Nettlefold near you. Anne and John will be with them. Anne's to go as a water nymph, and John as an Arab sheikh.
John is an Arab sheikh. Oh. I could wear my Goya dress. I have it with me. I wanted to show you my fancy dress.
It's a dream.
I know he'll remember it.
Don't say anything to Fleur. I'll put up at that hotel at Nettlefold.
Well, it's very kind of you, sir.
Can't have her struggling back all that way on the train.
Yeah, she will be rather laden. Kit has acquired a vast collection of shells.
I say something, I wonder?
Michael's too good to live.
Watch and wait. I'm not happy about that watercolor either. Can't think why Michael likes it. He's had the wretched thing framed.
You don't trust me a bit.
Forbidden fruits. That's what I don't trust.
What are you doing here?
John, I could say the same to you. I thought you weren't going to Goodwood.
Anne wanted to come to the dance.
Hello, Anne. You look delightful.
Hello, Fleur.
I'm afraid I'm not nearly so original. This was all I had with me.
You look like someone in a painting.
That's the general idea.
Are you here on your own?
I'm afraid so. I go back to London tomorrow.
Then you must join us.
One more wife for your harem, John.
The waltz. It's a seductive dance.
Sam was tired from his journey, but their music had drawn him.
Irene, I can see her now, dancing with Vasily.
Suddenly he danced.
Fleur. Fleur with that fellow. They mustn't see me, mustn't know. They're terrible, my worst fears. The Goya dress, she's wearing that. La Vendimia. Wait and see, I've seen.
I'll be loving you always. Always, John.
Irene with Bossini. Fleur with...
No! Not if I can help it!
She needs something to do, Michael. Something to keep her occupied.
Well, she's coming in with me on this slum committee. Joint secretaryship.
That's a start, I suppose.
Well, she'll be invaluable getting up balls and matinees.
Will she take it seriously? That's the thing.
You're worried, aren't you, sir?
Hmm?
I remember what you said to me some weeks ago about her cousin John. Is it anything to do with that?
Don't take it too much to heart, but... I've reason to believe she's never got over the feeling she had for that boy.
Might I ask on what you base that judgment?
Well, I happened to see her dancing with him last night at the hotel, and I noticed her expression.
I see.
She's fond of you, Michael. She knows which side her bread is buttered on.
Oh, yes. I belong.
My advice to you is to do nothing. It's not as if this were anything new. It'll go away again if it's left properly alone.
And I don't think I can do that, sir. It's only putting off the evil day.
You know, Michael, I feel I could make a far better contribution to your slum scheme if I ran a place of my own. I'm not good like you and Uncle Hillary. I need to shine.
You seem very good to me, Ducky.
Seriously, Michael.
What were you thinking of, exactly?
A rest house of some sort for the girls from the Meads. Not too far from London, but away from all the fog and soot.
It would take up a lot of your time.
I have to do something, Michael.
She needs something to do, Michael.
Have you spoken to your father?
I intend to ask him to pay the rent and rates.
It was Fleur's first night back at South Square. Michael would never know what tides coursed in her blood. She had behaved with complete discretion at the dance, all except for one waltz with John. In those few moments, she let him know quite surely that love flowed in her veins. To see him again, to retrieve the past, was now her driving obsession.
Rent and rates? You'll need more than that, young lady. Who's to pay for the running of the thing?
I am.
Good. God.
She's going to put her own money into it. She must be serious.
I've got it all worked out, Dad. I'm going to learn to drive. That way I'll be able to run down once or twice a week to keep an eye on things.
Well, I don't know,
it's
I'm
sure. It's what I need, Dad. A scheme of my own. Dorking. That's far enough away. I'll start looking tomorrow.
I convince them all. Dad, Michael, Uncle Hillary. From Dorking, it's only an hour's drive to John.
In episode 15 of the Forsyte Chronicles, Galsworthy was Dirk Bogard. Soames, Alan Howard, Fleur, Amanda Redman, Michael, Gary Bond, and John, Gary Cady. Angela Pleasance played June, Paul Daneman, Sir Lawrence Mont, Fiona Walker, Winifred, Catherine Fershpan, Anne, and Christopher Scott, Stainford. The Marquis of Shropshire was played by Jack May, Harold Blade, Benon Wukwe, Holly and Mrs. Corrigan, Elizabeth Mansfield, Val, Dale Rapley, Hilary Cheryl, David King, May Cheryl, Mary Allen, William Bentworth, Danny Schiller, Greenwater, Brian Miller, Jack Cardigan, Vincent Brimble, and Sir Timothy Fairfield, Michael Kilgariff. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The pianist was Mary Nash, and the director was Sue Wilson.